Why don't you open your Bible and turn it to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning. I don't know how long we will be with COVID. Probably longer than any of us want to be. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first 2 verses. And then we'll pray. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are prone to wander. We are prone to think selfishly and foolishly. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Give us wisdom this morning as we open up your word, and may you bless the hearts of every child of God, and may you touch the hearts of those that are not saved. We ask your blessing upon these services. We do pray for the West family and the loss of their mother and grandmother and great-grandmother, and ask your blessing upon them as they put away their mother in this time. Thank you for the promise of the scripture. Thank you for the beauty of all of the done things that you've done for us. We just praise your name today. Give us blessing. Give us peace. Draw us close to yourself. Give me freedom and ease to speak your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to reading Ephesians. And I read certain portions of scripture. I go about four markers in my Bible, one back in the Old Testament, one in the Psalms, one in the Proverbs, one in the New Testament, and whatever. And I do my best to read my Bible every day. And sometimes I don't read as much as I used to when I was very young. I read lots of chapters a day. But I still love to get into the scripture. And I got into Ephesians chapter 1. And I read it, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and I thought, wow, children of God. Amen. Wow, that's what it's about. Are you a child of God? Amen. Praise God, you are a child of God. If you're born again, you might not be receiving all the blessings you ought to receive from that thought, but bless your heart. You ought to rejoice in all the blessings that God has given you. Here he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice what he says. He wants to pray, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Grace and peace. You know how Brent was up here preaching on grace? It's the grace of God that you get saved by. It's the grace of God that he forgives your sin. It's the grace of God he puts up with you. Isn't that right? We have a hard time putting up with one another because we're all selfish and foolish and all sorts of things. We've got a lot of things that are problems for us. But God, by his grace, this unmerited favor, this thing we don't deserve, has blessed us. And you're blessed in God. He says here, grace be to you. Man, that's a pretty good thing to do. I wish grace would be to every one of you. I wish grace would be to me. Grace be to you. And peace. Oh, how much is the world needing peace today? How about our country? What a divided country we have. What a mess in a lot of ways. And then this COVID thing on top of that. And yet, there's probably never been a generation that didn't have a lot of troubles. I think about my folks and maybe your grandparents and whatever. They had the Depression to go through. They had World War I and World War II in Korea to go through. And so you got a lot of problems out here. You need God's peace, the peace in your heart. There was an awful lot of families lost members of their families in World War II, Korea, and recently at all these times. You know what? You need to go to God for a peace that passes understanding down inside your soul that God can give you. And He can. And that's a pretty good prayer. I wouldn't mind you praying that for me every day. Lord, give Brother Lindell grace today. And God, give him peace. Amen? Amen. I think it's something that's worthwhile doing. Now it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you have any spiritual blessings in your life? Well, there's a whole lot of them. There's a whole lot of them out there, and you need them. In heavenly places in Christ. Notice it's in Christ. I begin to notice things here, and it came up in my mind, the children of God. And something that I've known for a long time, and I've counted on for a long time. I had a very good father and a good mother. Had a very stable home. I knew I was loved. I was never abused in any way. And we were poor people. But, man, there was a lot of love there and a lot of compassion, a lot of wisdom. And so I think that is a tremendous a spiritual blessing. But notice what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what they've come. Now, accordingly, verse 4, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what Brent was preaching about this morning, teaching us. We're without blame. We're holy. We're blameless. We need to be harmless. Not hurt anybody's feelings. Holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The thought hit me. Children of God. I'm a child of God. Now I've known that a long time. But you know how God emphasizes something in your life just every once in a while. He'll catch something and he'll bring it to your mind, and he brought that to mind. Children of God. I think of myself many times, and I think many of us as Christians think of ourselves as servants, like slaves. We're owned by God. God made us. God sent us out. So we're owned by slaves. But you know, that's not what he's emphasizing. He's emphasizing children of God. Now, I have had this concept in my mind for a long time, and it brings me great peace. Like I said, I had a good father, and I had a father that told me, and I knew it would be true. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what troubles you have, no matter what, you can always come here. You know why? Because I mowed his lawn. I cooked his meals. I paid him for my bed. No, because he was my father. There is a difference between a servant and a son. And it's a tremendous difference. It really is. And as a son, walking back into a house, I was 18 when I left home and never lived there after the year of my age of 18. But I could come from anywhere. I could come back from New Mexico, or I could come back from Brownwood or whatever. And you know what? I was always welcome. They wanted to see me. They were happy to see me. I was a son. Have you recognized that you're not just a servant or a slave? You're not just bought with a price. You're a son or you're a daughter. You have a family relationship with the best father ever. Amen. This is one that can give you an inheritance completely blowing your mind. I've already received, even in this life, many, many blessings. But hey, he said, I got a mansion coming. I never thought I'd ever live in a mansion. But you know, that's what my Heavenly Father is preparing for me. I love the old song, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Some of the country churches that I preached in when I first became a preacher, they loved it. It was peppy. It was lively. And it's a very foolish idea. There are no cabins in glory land. You ever figure that out? There's nothing there but mansions. As I read the book of Revelation and it tells of the dimensions of the New Jerusalem and heaven, so to speak, it's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. How many mansions could you put in that? Man, I'm telling you what, you can put an awful lot of mansions in. God's gone to build us one and to carry us there. Praise the Lord. That's just one blessing. And by the way, he tells you in that same chapter, just chapter 14 of John, if it were not so, I would have told you. Can you trust God? If it were not so, I would have told you. If there were no hell, I'd have told you. If there were no heaven, I would have told you. If your sins couldn't be forgiven, I would have told you. If God can forgive your sins, I'd have told you. Can you trust God that to tell you what you need to know? If you've read the Bible, the New Testament especially, and throughout the Gospels and throughout the letters of the apostles to the churches, all of those blessings that we have been given to us and it's been told to us, and I love to hear them preached over and over and over again. Every once in a while, somebody who's been sitting in church for 10 years gets saved. Somehow, he just went over the head. Somehow they didn't really get caught. They never got moved on as far as what they said. I love a Heavenly Father, and He is my Father. Chosen Him, chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I don't think of myself as holy and without blame. Every time I read the Bible, I read the Ten Commandments, or I read especially the two commandments in the New Testament. It was also in the Old Testament, by the way. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I come short on that. Every once in a while, I'll get really convicted about that. And you know what? I can confess, yes, I do not love you as much as I love me. I can confess to you, and it's obvious. It's obvious. I bought myself a car, and I didn't buy you one. And I wasn't worried about it at all. Not a thing. That's because we all are selfish. Now, some of us are more selfish than others of us. But I tell you, we've got these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And we're holy and without blame. How in the world can you be holy and without blame, sinful as you are, selfish as you are? You have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be holy. And you have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be without blame. But what a wonderful thing. That's exactly what salvation tells you. That's exactly what the scriptures give you. You know how you get saved? You don't get saved because you're good. You don't get saved because you turned over a new leaf. You get saved when God applies the righteousness of Jesus Christ that He has earned, that He is owed. He applies it to your account. All of my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. They're buried in the depths of the sea. That it'll be remembered against us no more. Talk about a spiritual blessing. That's a spiritual blessing. Talk about something that ought to give you comfort in your heart. Something that ought to make you remain with God. Ought to make you stand up for God. Ought to make you tell others about your God. Wow, what a tremendous thing. And I thought about children of God. I have comfort in that. I've had it for a lot of years. I don't remember exactly when it was that it dawned upon me that I was more than a servant. I was more than a repentant sinner that had been forgiven. I was a son. And when I looked at that and applied it to my own life, that I lived there with my human father and mother, my sister, grew up on the south side of San Antonio, went to Burbank High School. It was a farm school when I went there. Now they got it, it's a big athletic stadium and a whole lot of things. They're not farming that land as much as they used to. You know something? That poor boy, that little south side boy, is a son of God. And you know what? That blesses my heart. It still does. It still does. I can go to sleep at night and think, I'm a son of God. God is my Father. Well, right here it is in this chapter. What it said there, and that just kept getting on my mind. Praise God, I am a son of God. I am a brother of Jesus Christ. I'm a part of the family of God, and I'm going to live with Him forever. That's not foolishness. That's Scripture. It's exactly what it's saying. And this right here is a chapter. I read it and I thought about children of God. Children of God. How many people don't live like children of God? Maybe you. Maybe you see yourself as a cringing servant over in the wall, afraid to approach Him. Maybe you have not decided to believe that well enough to say, I just can't hardly call Him Father. But you know what? I can. And you can too if you'll take the Scripture. And that's what all you've got. All you've got is faith in the Scriptures that were given to you. Now, verse 5 says that we've been predestinated, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to good the pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Wow. I have had people, dear Christians, sweet people, saved people, that it bothered them that I thought of myself as a son of God. It bothered them. And they would come back at me and they would think, no, you need to be a servant. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to be on your knees, or you need to be, you know, whatever. A lot of different ideas. I knew one family that if you had a Bible, you didn't place anything above the Bible. I set down my books. I don't have them all the Bible on top all the time. But you might find my Bible under something. And by the way, when I first got saved that first year, I had a New Testament and it was in my back pocket. I had somebody offended by that. Gave me a hard time on it. Why are you putting it in your back pocket? Because I was in the Air Force, and those two pockets up there I couldn't unbutton. And by the way, they would look at that New Testament and think, man, you don't think much of that Testament. What are you doing to the Word of God? Because it's all covered with grease. It was one that was probably about as thick when I got it new as my finger right here. And by the time I was reading it every day after getting saved, it was about that thick. And had grease on every page. But that's a blessed New Testament because it got into my head. I could carry it everywhere I was. I was out there being bored or boring myself. Man, I had that Word of God, but I was working in grease and all and filling up airplanes and whatever. Wow. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know why He did it? It made Him feel good. You know why He did it? He did it because He's good. He did it because He loved us. He did it because He wanted you to know what you are. That little girl, the grandchild of Eddie now. I went to the adoption ceremony. And we're sitting in the courthouse, in, I guess it was Floresville, thank you. And that judge sat up there. And here's this little thing running around. She was dressed fancy. Man, I'm telling you, they had her just all sparkling and whatever. And she was so happy. And I got to thinking about her. And I thought, when she gets adopted into this family, to this mother that loves her, she's got 10,000 times the opportunity to have a normal life. And that judge sat up there and this little girl running around. And she says, as of now, the adoption is complete. And she is your child just as if she was born to your body. And I cried. Touched my heart. I love family. I love my own family. I was raised in a family that family meant something. Your brothers, your cousins, your friends, and whatever. But your dad and mom, that's good things. Are you a good father to your children? Or are you a good mother to your children? Do you care for them or do you care for a lot of other things? Nelda's going to be buried here next Saturday. She just passed away just a few days ago. And you know something? She was a good mother. She was a good wife. She was a good grandmother. She's also a good cook. And I experienced plenty of that. Now I know the stock exchange doesn't think it's worth much. They only think if you're good to your boss, not whether you're good to your husband or not. But I believe God thinks differently. I believe that goes high in God's judging. Good mother, good wife. That's something worthwhile. What a beautiful thing it is to transfer that love you have into that child you have. Or those children. Well, bless your heart. God's put you in His family. God's put you in His house. God's given you His name. God has welcomed you to come to Him any time, day or night. Whether you're happy or sad, whether you're in jail or in prison or in the hospital or riding in a mansion. Praise the Lord. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know why He did it? Glory. Grace. God loves to give away grace. God loves to give you blessings by grace. Not that you deserve them. None of us are great soldiers and warriors. David had to be and a very exceptional man. He was a musician. He was a poet. He was a very spiritual man. He was a fighter. He was not a big man, but he was a very dangerous man to go against. You know something? In Him, look at what He says, verse 7, we have redemption. I've been paid for. Get it out of your head that you're going to pay anything. Get it out of your head that you've got something you can give God. Get it in your head God wants to give you something. God wants to give you rich, rich blessings. He wants to give you good thoughts. He wants to give you love. He wants you to believe that you're a part of the family of God. And that is a high position. A high position. And I tell you, you don't have to worry about it. I could have gone to my dad's house and gone in any time of the day or night and I would not have gotten a rebuke for coming by and visiting. That's the way God is. He doesn't seem to sleep. Seems like you can come any time. You might ought to avail yourself of that opportunity. Because he can do all things, and the Bible tells us he hears our prayers. Why don't you make use of that? I think prayer is very underrated in our generation, and I think it's not used as much as it ought to be by many Christians. You try to think it out on your own. You try to work it out on your own. You talk to your friends and your neighbors. You talk to your whatever companions you think that are smart, rather than talking to God about it. He is your father. And he's not like maybe your physical father was. I know some of you had a sorry father. I'm sorry for you. I really am. I had a good father. I still respect him. I've seen very few men that I would have considered better. And I think that I was raised for 18 years and then I knew him until he was 72. He was a good man. And I thank God for a good father. I thank God for a good man. I thank God for the Christian men I have met in the last 63 or 4 years that stood for the Lord, stood by the Word of God, walked around in praise, work, pray, go visit, witness, testify. I want an old man to the Lord. He was in his 70s. His wife died. I just come to Brownwood, Texas, and moved my trailer in on a house next door to the neighbor. And in that month, this man's wife died. She is in her 70s, and she had a flimsy, beautiful nightgown and coat. And, of course, in those places, your heat was by a fireplace. And it caught fire and just killed her. And that old man got saved. And he wrote me up to his 81st birthday, still giving my testimony, boy. Still giving my testimony. He was going around, and every time the little country churches have a revival, they're liable to say, "You want to say something?" "Yeah, I want to say something. Jesus Christ saved my soul." Amen. And that's what he did. Now, I never heard from him after 81. I don't know when he died or where he died, but he was at that age. We have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of me according to the riches of his grace. In Matthew 26:28, it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Verse 9, "having made known unto us the mystery of his will." Isn't it a mystery? Didn't it shock you to think that God loved me and that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for me? I can't think that way. I wouldn't give one of my sons for any one of you. I wouldn't. I don't think you'd give your son for me. But God gave his son. God gave him to him. Shed his blood for the remission of sins. Then in verse 9, you know what it says? Something else? We've got a mystery. Beautiful mystery of his will. And what is that? That verse 10, "in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ." You know what's going to happen? In the future, everybody's going to be worshiping Christ. All religion's going to be about Christ. All praise is going to be about Christ. All judgment is going to be about Christ. The Bible tells it to you over and over and over again. And then in look at verse 11, he says, "in whom also we have an inheritance." You know, I did inherit part of a farm and half of a house, and I got an inheritance, paid off some bills, made some things go very well for me. I've got an inheritance in heaven. I've got an inheritance that's going to last for eternity. I've got an inheritance, praise God, because I'm a son. Your servants and slaves don't generally get inheritance. It's children that get the inheritance. And praise God, I want you to know I've got an inheritance in Jesus Christ because I'm a brother of Christ and an heir with Him. You may not be an heir to any land or buildings or big insurance policies in this life, but I tell you where it says right here in this Bible right here, you've got an inheritance. Everything. Verse 11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Colossians 1:28 said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm going to be? Perfect. Do you know what, Brent? You're going to be perfect. You're not now. I tell you what, I'm going to be perfect. And before the throne of God right now, I am. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been applied to my account. That's how I got saved. I became a son and an heir, a brother of Jesus Christ, and a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And everything it says is going to fall under Christ. All of it in Him. In Acts 26:18 it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's why we preach. That's why I preach. There's got to be somebody else that's dying in the pain of unforgiven sin, that's walking around being trampled on by the world and by their own flesh. And I've got the hope. And the hope is Jesus Christ. That's the hope. That's the name of the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, another place in Romans 8:15, it says, we have not received the spirit of bondage. I think a lot of even modern Christians are walking around with a spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. But we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father. Abba is the word Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wherefore, Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Can you see the beauty of this and the family relationship of this and what it ought to do for your mind when you come before God Almighty? You ought to love Him. You ought to respect Him. He's got all the answers. Verse 19 of Ephesians 1. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? Who believe? It says here, if we believe, we have exceeding greatness of power. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Wow. Jesus Christ died. They buried Him. They set a watch, put the soldiers out to make sure nobody could fool with Him. He rose from the dead. He had chosen 12 men. 12 men to be testimonies that knew Him in life. And they could testify that He rose from the dead. You know something? He wanted them to know that much. And God gave him what He wrought in Christ, gave him a name and a power Look at verse 21. Far above all principality. Hey, that's bigger than the government of the United States. That's bigger than the government of England. That's bigger than the Iran government. That's bigger than Venezuela. Far above all principality, all power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Because we baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we had some people cut us out of their fellowship. But I got it right here in the word of God. It's right now in His name, and it's going to be more and everything in that name. Not only that, look at verse 22. He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. In Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name. There's not another name. There's not going to be a name in the future that's going to be above this name. God's going to bring all things together in Christ, and you are His brother and joint heir with Him. You're part of the family of God. You're not a servant to come cringing in fear. You're a son that comes to his father in love. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Are you saved? You got something to rejoice in. Are you lost? Oh, I got a promise for you. You just repent of your sins and seek God. He'll forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll attach the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. He'll adopt you into His family as though you were born to Him. You'll be adopted into the family of God. You'll be a son and an heir. Wow. I thought this chapter was wow. Go home and read it 2 or 3 times. If you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you what, Jesus can save you. If you're here and the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart, then bow your head and ask God for forgiveness of your sins and of your, and don't be easy on yourself. Confess your sins and then trust God to do what He promised to do in His Word. He'll change your life. Then get with Christians. Get with some people that really believe the book. Get with people who are sincere about seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and grow. You're not the only smart one in the world. Have you figured that out yet? You might could learn something from somebody else. Come on to church. Find some Christian friends. Talk up the Bible. And grow. And grow in love to your Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ who paid your debt. Father, take your word, touch some heart and life today. Thank you for all the blessings we have by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.